You are tuned in to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. Join us now on another exciting metaphysical journey. Relax, tune in, drop out, and take a seat by the fire as we explore new realms and possibilities. This is Magenta Pixie. You can find me at magentapixie.weebly.com. But now, here is Zany Mystic and guest. Enjoy the show.
Good evening, and welcome to a Fireside Chat with Zany Mystic. I am your host, Lance White. Tonight, I'm delighted to have an old friend return to the show, Mahala Gale. Mahala is an astrologer, writer, lecturer, minister, and one of the founders of the Asclepius Light Center. She has been the editor of the Asclepius Light Center newsletter since 1988, and is well known for her monthly Planet Alert articles. Studying the science of astrology since the early 1980s has allowed her to become an expert in mundane astrology, which is the study of world events. She is proficient in connecting the known prophecies to both natural and unusual global events. A frequent guest on numerous talk shows, she is always a delight. So let's welcome her back to the show now. Hi, Mahala. How are you?
I'm just great. And how about you?
I'm good, too. I thought maybe we could start out with some of these global events that are going on. I just happened to notice on the radio and on the news there's a massive storm going on in the, is it the East Coast now? They're just getting...
There's one on the East Coast, the snowstorms on the East Coast, and then on the West Coast down in California, they've been having tremendous rains again, and there's a major mudslide down there. Mm. And so I find it very interesting because Jupiter, which is a huge planet, in mid-January went into the sign of Pisces, which is a water sign. And so I thought, oh boy, it's going to be lots and lots of storms in the coming up year with that planet in that sign. And so there has been since then, and it will continue. And so the storm on the East Coast is a record one. And also, like eclipses, they set up events that transpire as time goes on. Uh-huh. And it's not necessarily where the darkness is. I mean, where the darkness of an eclipse is, that's affected too. But where the sun is, you know, like the sun was over the East Coast when we had the Cancer eclipse on December 15th, and if you draw a line, like from New York straight down, there's Haiti, you know, and then the planets were all in the lower declination, and so that triggered the earthquake in Haiti at that particular time. Mm. And so the energy is still running on the East Coast because of that placement, and also the fact that the node is in Capricorn, and so that's a year cycle, and Capricorn is an earth sign, so there'll probably be, you know, between the storms and the earthquakes, and the volcanic eruptions, we should have quite a year coming up here.
Well, good. There'll be some excitement on the show on planet Earth.
Right, just what we need, huh?
Yeah, really.
Yeah, and I was thinking...
Go ahead.
Okay, well, I was thinking about the book that Whitley Strieber and Art Bell wrote about the coming global superstorm.
Oh.
And then that was made into the movie, you know, The Day After Tomorrow, which I saw.
Right.
And when I saw the snow coming into the East Coast, I thought, oh, my God, this is portrays of what they had written about, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And then I had heard Whitley come on Coast to Coast. It was, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago. Time, I can't tell time anymore because it goes going by so fast. But he was saying that the currents in the Atlantic had changed at that particular time, and that was how they said that the beginning of the global superstorm would start.
Wow.
So I thought, this is really interesting.
Yes. Well, and I think it hits over in England and Europe, doesn't it? Supposedly.
Oh, yeah. England has had a whole lot of storms because not only is Jupiter in Pisces, but Uranus has been in Pisces, or Uranus, it's pronounced, I've heard it pronounced both ways.
Yeah.
But anyways, that's been in there since 2003. And so that basically set up a whole cycle of water and storm events. And so England is one of the places that Uranus is right over right now, and they've had tremendous storms over there. And it's going to be there for a while yet, so, you know, I feel kind of sorry for them.
Oh, yeah. How long will Jupiter remain in Pisces?
It's in there for 1 year.
1 year, so we've got some way, we got a ways to go.
Yes.
Well,
yeah, so it's a year cycle. So the Jupiter in the water is a year cycle, and then the node in Capricorn is another year cycle. What's a year and a half cycle, but we've gone through half of it. And so that, so it's a combination of those two that will be in effect for the coming up year.
Wow. Yeah. Well, I do know that one of my guests is building a boat for the coming,
superstorm.
Yeah.
Oh, where does he live?
I'm not sure off the top of my head. It's going to be, it'll be a sturdy one for sure.
Uh-huh. Right, yeah. Time for Noah's.
Room for two of everything, unfortunately, but.
Right. Time for Noah's Ark.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Well, then,
yeah.
You know, it's cycling around again, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Well, I have a book, and it's on astrology, and it's called The Space Age Science. And I've had this book for several years now. In fact, the book was written in 1966. And in this book, it gives a cycle, a Kali Yuga world cycle, and it's a 5,000-year document. You know, it's real similar to the Mayans. And so in this document, it says that the last cycle is from 2003, and it ends in 2010. And then in 2010... it says, it doesn't give any month or anything, but it says, and then starts the 1,000 years of peace.
Huh.
And I thought, wow, that's really interesting. And so this document, it's so interesting. The only part he put in his book was from 1912 until 2010, and they were each broken down into 7-year cycles.
Hmm.
And so what it says right here is, it says about 20 years ago, a blind man named McDermott gave a written interpretation of the Kali Yuga world cycle to Nora Forrest in Pittsburgh. This was a 5,000-year Kabbalistic cycle divided into 7-year periods, extending the last part from 1912 to the year 2010. And so, then they have the phase, you know, the interpretation that was broken up from 2012 until 2010, and how what it says about each one was just totally amazing to me. And so this is like Vedic astrology, and Vedic is a real ancient, you know, science.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's always been when I hear about the ending of the age in 2012, you know, and I says, well, what about this cycle? You know, this ends in 2010. And then there's a Carl Kalman cycle, a different interpretation of the Mayan calendar that ends in 2011. And then everyone else, you know, says 2012.
Mm.
But this, what this points to right now is pretty amazing to me, because if you take the Iraq war.
Right.
And Iraq was considered ancient Babylon, you know, like Baghdad was Babylon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so in the Bible, in the 17th and the 18th chapter of Revelations, it talks about the downfall of Babylon and the war that goes on there. And so that started, you know, on March 20th of 2003 at the spring equinox. And so the end of a 7-year cycle comes to March 20th, 2010.
Wow.
Which corresponds to this Kali Yuga cycle.
Well, then that's pretty coincidental, isn't it?
I mean, yes, I think it is.
Yeah. Because it's exactly 7 years, and it's bringing into play all the biblical prophecies. And wasn't Saddam building the Tower of Babel? He really rebuilt the church, and it was destroyed.
Yes, yes.
And then,
also, there's that Stargate there.
Stargate, yes. There's a Stargate in Iraq.
Right, yeah.
The major, the planetary stargate, as a matter of fact.
Right, yes, because I was told like about 20 years ago that there was a major star in the Middle East, you know, in Iraq, and that whoever controlled that stargate controlled the world.
Wow.
And so, no wonder we wanted that area.
Yes, you know? Exactly. And here we're, a lot of people are thinking it's oil and big business and the rest of it, which of course is all very convenient as well for them.
All fits into it too, you know.
It does. It really does. It's almost as if it was planned out by some kind of divine planner.
That's right, yeah.
Well, then the interesting thing, too, that you brought up, I was looking a little bit about Revelations, and they mentioned that there are 3.5-year cycles. So two of those 3.5-year cycles are 7 years.
Yes, that's right. Right, yeah. And so, okay, so now we finished the 18th cycle, I mean the 18th chapter of Revelation, mm-hmm. and so we just have the 19th and the 20th to go. And we've kind of been in that cycle, too, you know. And yeah. So what interests me, what you know, like the light bulb kind of went on when I was watching what was going on with the Gulf of Aden, I think it is,
mm-hmm.
how it said.
Mm-hmm.
Because it, like in the 19th chapter, first it talks about the how heaven is opened and they see the white horse, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when I was interpreting the Revelation, I said, well, this is white ships, you know. I mean, you're not going to see a horse in heaven. And
right.
so it's referring to UFOs or spaceships. And there, I mean, if you've kept track of what's going on lately, I mean, there's all kinds of sightings of UFOs, especially since we have the digital cameras.
Yeah.
They can take pictures, you know, of a different dimension or frequency than the normal ones could. And so in the 19th chapter, you know, it talks about, says about the heavens opening and the ships appearing, you know, and all that stuff. But down here at the end of it, and it says, let's see. It says, then I saw an angel standing in the sun, and with a loud voice he called to all the birds that fly in mid-heaven, come, gather for the great supper of God. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered to make war against him who sits upon the horse, or the ships, and against his army. And the beast was captured, and with it the false prophets, who in his presence had worked the signs by which he deceived those who had received the mark of the beast. And so it's talking, and then in the Apotheca, it's that was taken out of the Bible, that's an even clearer version of what it says,
mm-hmm.
and what it says in that version is exactly what is happening right now.
Wow.
And in the book of Ezra, it said, like, well, Ezra was given the prophecies that take off from the book of Revelations,
mm-hmm.
you know, so it's a little different interpretation, or it goes deeper into the interpretation.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, and I'd like to share a little bit of this dream that Ezra had.
Oh, good. Yes, please do.
Okay, and so it says, after 7 days, I dreamed a dream in the night, and behold, a wind arose from the sea and stirred up all the waves. And I looked, and behold, this wind made something like the figure of a man come up out of the heart of the sea. And I looked, and behold, that man flew with the clouds of heaven. And wherever he turned his face to look, everything under his gaze trembled. And whenever his voice issued from his mouth, all who heard his voice melted as wax melts when it feels the fire. After this I looked, and behold, an innumerable multitude of men were gathered together from the four winds of heaven to make war against the man who came up out of the sea.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked, and behold, he carved out for himself a great mountain and flew upon it. And I tried to see the rain or place from which the mountain was carved, but I could not. After this I looked, and behold, all who had gathered together against him to wage war with him were much afraid, yet dared to fight. And behold, when he saw the onrush of the approaching multitude, he neither lifted his hand nor held a spear of any weapon of man war, but I saw only how he sent forth from his mouth as it were a stream of fire, and from his lips a flaming breath, and from his tongue he shot forth a storm of sparks.
Mm.
And so if you think about this, you know, this talks about how the man comes up from the sea.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Well, everyone's talking about the Stargate in the Gulf of Aden. And they have ships, warships there,
mm-hmm.
from all over the world. And
yes, that was a shock to me. I didn't know about this until just a couple of days ago. I like everybody else, I believe the standard explanation that we get on the controlled media, which was that this was about the Somali pirates. But those little pirates have ships that are like 20 feet long, and there are warships from Russia, China, Sweden, I believe, or Norway, and America, and maybe one other country, and they're all there.
Australia, too?
Australia, yes.
NATO?
Now, what would they be doing there? And there's also isn't there some scientific research ships from some of the labs that are known for back engineering some of the technologies? I think
I don't know, but it probably so.
Yeah.
And then when I was researching it on the net, I got this one email, or not email, but a article, and it says 7 miles deep within the sea below the Aden Stargate is an awakening sentient consciousness creation with extraordinary capacity to assist in bringing peace to the world. The secret scientists are monitoring these anomalies, and they know they can do nothing to stop them. All planets in our solar system and our sun are showing transformational changes in composition and magnetic. All ancient and new grids are activating and will shortly demonstrate an unbelievable power by generating a 5D crystalline and electromagnetic shield firmament around the planet and a horizontal force field that will make aggressive use of weapons impossible. And so, excuse me just a second. Oh, I don't know why my voice is giving out there.
That's all right.
And so along with that, with the end of the seven-year cycle and with the Kali Yuga saying that peace begins, in 2010, and then we have all the warships gathering to make war against, whatever it is with the Stargate.
Right.
And so, which could be, and it said that there have been UFOs seen coming out of that particular Stargate.
Yeah. Oh, and then what about the UFO? This was a strange thing I noticed. There were three enormous globe-like UFOs right near the sun. I mean, so close that they would have burned up if they were asteroids.
Right.
And they're the size of a planet.
Yes, I saw those too, and I thought, wow, this is really, really the end of the cycle, when things like that start appearing.
Well, yes, and not to mention the Norway spiral.
Right. That was pretty amazing too.
Yeah. So we're definitely seeing signs and things that can't be covered up, and they can't be explained away, and people are no longer buying the pabulum that's being handed out, by the spoonful.
Right. Yeah, and then a friend of mine who channels the Palladian, she said that she was told by her guidance that after February, the world will not be the same anymore.
Wow.
And so I thought, wow, does all this time, correspond with this particular timing, like right now?
That'd be interesting if it did. I mean, sooner or later, we're so close to 2012 and 2011 when Kellerman says that everything's happening. Sooner or later, it is going to all coincide, and we will be in it. So it seems like it certainly could be. It's conceivable to me that this is a time of shifting into the next age, which is supposed to be the golden age, where there won't be wars and there won't be duality and polarity. And as you said, so many people are light workers are working on creating a 5D crystalline grid for the new planet that is going to allow us to ascend to a higher level of consciousness.
Right. Yeah. Because I don't believe that there could be peace on the third dimension or the fourth dimension Earth, but we'd have to be in the fifth for that peace to manifest, I think. Although if they put this electromagnetic grid out from the Stargate in the Gulf then weapons will refuse. They won't work anymore.
Well, that would be a relief.
Yes, that would be a very definite release, yeah.
Yeah.
But we've been going through, you know, like people say, well, oh, we're going into fourth dimension Earth. Well, I believe that we've been in the fourth dimension Earth since 1987.
Yes,
because
I think you're right about that.
Because we jumped a timeline, because the fourth dimension is where all the garbage and all the wars and everything, and then towards the end of the fourth, it gets really, really dark. And look at how dark it's been on Earth.
Terrible.
Yeah, it has
been. People
are
isolating and having difficulty just surviving through this. And it
right.
Just, and it seems to go on and on. You know, the rape and pillage of the planet, and the bankers are just having a field day throwing their arrogance in our face, robbing the coffers of the country, and so on and so forth. I mean, it's just endless. You could talk all night about the things that are going on, that it's a rotten basket of apples.
Yeah, it sure is. Very definitely. Yeah, so we have to move into the fourth. And then the good news is, well, like the 20th chapter of Revelations, so the 19th chapter is basically, and when I'd read that before, you know, I thought, oh, wow, this sounds like a major war. And I said, well, I didn't think we were going to have any more major wars, and I couldn't quite figure out how it would work out. But then now that I see all of these warships gathering in one spot in the world, I could see where it could break out, you know, even if it's just simply a terrorist or a pirate war, you know. I think it has more to do with the Stargate. And so if it is like in the Apotheca, you know, where it says that... you know, like where they all gather together against him.
Mm-hmm.
And then it says, like back to reading in the Esther part, and it says, all these were gathered together, the stream of fire and the flaming breath and the great storm, and fell on the onrushing multitude, which was prepared to fight, and burned them up, so that suddenly nothing was seen of the insurmountable multitude, but only the dust of ashes and the smell of smoke. And when I saw this, I was amazed. And then I saw the same man come down from the mountain and call to him another multitude, which were peaceable. And then many people came to him, some of whom were joyful and some sorrowful. Then in great fear I woke, and I sought the Most High and said, from the beginning thou hast shown me, this servant, these wonders, and has deemed me worthy to have my prayer heard by thee. Now show me the interpretation. And he answered me and said, I will tell you the interpretation of the vision, and I will also explain to you the things which you have mentioned. As for what you said about those who are left, this is the interpretation. He who brings a peril at that time will himself protect those who fall into peril, who have works and have faith in the Almighty. Understand, therefore, that those who are left are more blessed than those who have died. This is the interpretation of the vision. As for you seeing a man coming up from the heart of the sea, this is he whom the Most High has been keeping for many ages, who will himself deliver his creation, and he will direct those who are left.
Mm.
Now that says a mouthful right there.
No kidding.
And then it says, and when these things come to pass and the signs occur which I showed you before, then my son will be revealed, whom you saw as a man coming up from the sea. And when all the nations hear his voice, every man shall leave his own land and the warfare that have been one against another, and an innumerable multitude shall be gathered together, as you saw, desiring to come and conquer. But he will stand on the top of Mount Zion, and Zion will come and be made manifest to all people, prepared and built, as you saw the mountain carved out without hands. And he, my son, will reprove the assembled nations for their ungodliness, and then they will be destroyed by the law. Now, without any weapons. And so my interpretation of that is that negativity destroys itself. And so, like, if there's a type of protection or something, like around a ship or something, and someone tries to fight against it, then I think that the energy would go back to them.
Well, that kind of falls in line with with the magic, the creation of magic, and casting spells and things, that everything goes back tenfold.
Right. And so if they have all these warships there and they decide to fight, you know, if they fight with something that has higher technology than we do.
I would think we're pretty primitive in comparison. You know, although we may have technologies that we haven't revealed that have been developed, but now that's a catch-22 because the corporations and the black operations that work on these projects that are 25, 50 years ahead of anything that we know of, you know, in our daily lives, they can't bring them out because they're hidden.
That's right. Definitely. Yeah.
So there's a little catch-22 there. They can't exactly roll out the big guns when they're not supposed to have any big guns.
That's right, yeah. Unless they're behind the scenes, like the HARP and the weather wars and the earthquake wars and everything that's been going on.
Well, definitely. In fact, I think I mentioned that I have a guest coming up who's going to be talking about the chemtrails and how they're and what their purpose is and how they're being used and so on. So there's no question that there are weather wars going on and
right.
You know, all the major governments are so concerned about it that they're putting up the chemtrails so that they can tell where the scalar waves are hitting. And supposedly that's what the chemtrails are for. If the scalar waves are which are invisible, are being emanated from another country, from a HARP facility, then these chemtrails separate in a certain way and they can tell where they're being attacked. So it's a messy thing. It's a messy business going on right now.
Right, yeah. Yeah, and I think that...
Yeah.
Oh, excuse me. Well, I think that, like, in the Revelations, I think it's been an outline of everything that's going on, like with the dark beings, and that we've actually created our own Armageddon, you know, and with the dark ones that are here, etc., until the very end of it, where the new heaven and the new earth comes in. But right after the 19th chapter, where all these are gathered together, you know, to make war on those that come out with the ships, then it's the 20th chapter, and that talks all about the downfall of the controllers.
Oh. Is there anything that strikes you as something that we might want to know about? I mean, because, you know, if they're going to fall, it seems that it might be partially due to a raise in the frequencies. They simply aren't going to be able to exist in a higher frequency.
That's right. That's right, yeah. And so that could be too, because there's many different theories out there about what is happening right now, you know. And so it could be because, like, I was listening to David Sirita on Coast to Coast, and with his theory, you know, that the Earth is going into higher frequency zone, and that when this happens, when the Earth gets there, then we'll all change because of the high frequency.
Mm-hmm.
And basically we'll change, like the Bible says, you'll change instantly from a mortal to immortal body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's like a sudden thing because all of a sudden you're encompassed in this frequency and then there's a change.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on Coast to Coast on December, I think it was the 21st of 2009.
Mm-hmm.
And he also said that there would be the solar activity, you know, would be part of it, which we're moving into the solar, the main cycle, you know, which is supposed to climax in 2012, I hear.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that, and then he also said that this blue cloud would appear, you know, and then after I had listened to his CD and I thought, oh, and then I got this email, and here was this, you know, NASA thing with a blue cloud in the
I saw
heaven.
That. I was thinking Blue Star Cucina, but I guess it's not. But it is blue.
And yes, it's definitely blue.
They say they don't have a clue about what it is.
Right.
And they say that about everything. So, you know, a lion pack of thieves over there. But, you know. Still, it's done something, and it's big, and it's blue, and it looks like kind of an arrow type of thing on its way somewhere. So
yeah, so I was wondering if that was the blue cloud that he was talking about.
I wonder.
Know?
I wonder. And didn't David say in that interview that the sun is really the one that is ascending and pulling us up with it?
Yes.
And that it is a conscious being, as is, you know, as are all the planets. And that the sun's timing its release of these electromagnetic pulses to free us from the constraints of the electromagnetic grids that have been keeping us in place and keeping us dumbed down and unaware, and also keeping the veils in place in between
right.
densities.
Yes, yeah, and so I was thinking about that, you know, after listening to this program too, and I thought, well, we have an electromagnetic grid around us, you know, and I said, that's like keeping us in prison. And so if that all of a sudden went down, we would be open to multidimensional consciousness.
Yes, and telepathy, empathy. We could be, you know, because look at all of the natural world is connected except for us. You know, we're not able to tap into each other's thoughts, but look at how the birds fly in formation, and they know exactly where they're going. You know, I mean, you could go on all night about that. And so many people say that the next step for humanity, and we're due for a major evolution, is that we will be aware of each other's intentions. Not necessarily able to read each other's minds, because we'll have privacy, but we will know what's in the heart of other people.
Yes, right.
And so that will eliminate a lot of difficulty.
Yeah, I think that there's something going on right now with a lot of people are expressing what they think they're having a heart attack.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it's like, especially like before earthquakes or something like that, you know. And so I know I had a friend that called me up and said that she was just really afraid because she thought she was having a real one, and it was right before Haiti had the earthquake, and I had the same thing. But I think that a lot of people, our heart chakras are opening, because our heart chakras have to be open, you know, because they've been so closed down for such a long time because of all the lessons and the trauma and the sorrow and everything that everyone that's been living on the earth has had to go through.
Yes.
And so people just automatically close down their heart chakra to protect them from all of the negativity that goes on Earth. And so now we're in a process of the heart chakra opening up.
Yes.
And so in some people this can be really painful. And
well,
so I've gotten emails with several people. They've been having what they consider heart attacks right before the earthquakes happen.
Wow.
And before it used to be body pains and stuff like that, and now it seems to be affecting the heart.
Well, that's a good sign, though, isn't it? I mean, as long as
Right. Yeah, it just, you know, hurts, and it feels like it's happening, but it's not really. I mean, you know, I mean, well, some people have, I mean, they do have heart attacks, but all of the earth sensitives that feel all these things that are going on, you know, when they feel something like that, the biggest chance is that it's your heart chakra opening.
Well, now, what about the timing of this film Avatar coming out? I haven't seen it yet, but there's quite a bit of talk about it being a significant movie for this period of time.
Oh, it's a wonderful movie for this period of time. There's a lot of violence in it, you know, with the U.S. shooting up everything, but that kind of had to be in there to balance the movie out, to really get the message across. And the message I got from it is that everyone is tired of wars, and they want to live like the blue people live in the movie, which is one with everything, one with the forest and the park. They have these just gorgeous, like, flowers and this forest where they live. It's just beautiful. And then if you see it in IMAX, you know, like these flowers will come out at you, and you're like right there.
Wow.
And it's just amazing.
And then
the guy that's talking about an avatar, you know, it's like he goes into this what looks like an iron lung, and then or maybe a MRI or something like that, you know, it's trying to describe it. And then he goes from being as an American soldier into being into the body of one of the natives.
Mm.
And then so he's living kind of like a double life.
Wow.
And then he ends up being their avatar. And then when the United States goes in to destroy all their habitats, then he becomes the savior, you know, and
wow.
And then they win. Well, nobody wins in a war, but the thing is that the ones who fight are totally gone. You know, they end up just destroying themselves, and then it shows at the end where this other group of people, aliens, you know, they can live in peace and harmony now. And so that kind of goes along with where we are right now in
right
prophecy.
Right now, yes.
Right,
isn't
yeah.
Isn't that interesting? And the Hindu uh-huh. gods were blue.
Yeah. Yeah, and they're tall beings, and it was just so interesting watching it for me, anyways, to see how they portrayed it. And then they had like this one ceremony they had. They were sitting in the forest, and they were all in a circle, and they were all swaying together, you know, and they were one.
Wow.
And they could talk to the trees, and they could talk to the animals, and it's the way the world should be.
Should be. I think that's where we have been. And through technology and through drops in frequency, we've lost touch with that. And we're at the lowest ebb right now before the dawning of the new age. And when we reconnect and realize that there is no separate person, we're all interconnected, and you can't really do anything, you know, in a selfish manner, because what you do affects everything.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. And I read the Harry Potter series, you know?
Oh, yes. It's wonderful. Yes.
Yes, and it was so interesting, too, because, you know, it's all about magic and all that kind of stuff. But the last book really held me, you know, where I couldn't put it down. I had to keep reading it because that portrays what's going on in the world, too.
Right now,
because,
yes.
Yes, because in the very end, you know, they were the dark side was there, you know, and was chasing them around. But at the very end, Harry Potter and all of his friends, who like the Avatar too, you know,
right.
And all of his friends, they were like fighting against the dark side for the control. And in the very end of that book, like Harry had to stand up to the Dark Lord, you know, at the very end. And then how it works out is negativity destroys itself. And so then the Dark Lord was destroyed by, you know, how it works by the negativity. And then it was like the ending of it was then Harry Potter and his friends all got to live in peace and security because
wow.
there was no more war.
Well, I do believe that those books are channeled.
I think so, too.
Yeah, and the, you know, especially with the idea that the dark side is infiltrating into the highest echelons of the, you know, into the secret services.
Yes.
You know, there's a direct correlation there between, you know, MI, whatever it is, 5, 6, or 12, or whatever, and the different CIA agencies and all that the dark side has infiltrated into all these different places and is waging its war from the inside of it now.
Yes.
So, you know, I think that's that children can read that and they understand it at an intuitive and empathic level. Especially with all the, you know, indigos and crystals and the new kids that are around that.
Oh,
you know,
yes,
they get
yes.
it now. They just they get it.
Right, yes, because there's been, like, different types of people that have come in. And like, I know, like I was told a long time ago, that there were the light workers that came in. And like, the light workers are a different race than the people of love, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so how it works in the galaxy is the light workers come in because light is intelligence and wisdom
mm-hmm.
and knowledge and teaching.
Mm-hmm.
And so they came in and they brought all the knowledge, like you know, so many of the people that have come in have done over the years. And they've educated the people as to what is going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then when the time is right, then the children that are coming in, they're love children. They're children of love.
Right.
And so the love race is the ones that will set up the new system.
Yes, yes.
And
they're,
that's what,
they're just about poised to be in a position to assume those roles now.
Yes.
You know, if not overdue.
Right.
You know, yeah. Because the indigos were coming in, you know, a long time ago, and they've had kids, and their kids have had kids. So, you know, if they're not ready to step up to the plate, well, then it'll be their great-great-grandchildren that will be doing it. So,
right,
and
yeah.
I don't think that's the case because time accelerates according to the Mayan calendar and Terence McKenna's work and so many other people who have researched it, that we're moving into an accelerated period. So we're reliving so many periods in shorter cycles. They're spiraling around.
Yes, right. And I believe
that
time is a manifestation of the fourth dimension.
Yes. Yeah.
And then when we get in the fifth, there'll be no time.
No time. So, you know, when people are frightened about the no time thing, they're assuming that that means something terrible or bad. But
it just means
the dropping of the density that restricts us to the illusion of time.
But to be able to live in the now.
In the now, yes, in a higher spiritual form.
Because that's
without
all that
duality.
Really matters. Yeah, that's all
duality.
That really matters is living in the now.
Right, exactly. And we're so busy, we've been kept so busy, you know, having careers and
yes.
jobs and working for corporations. And you can see how corporations have taken over the world. It's obvious.
Right.
You know, they run the world now. And
that's right.
You know, what, 6 or 7% of the world now owns over 90% of it. So, you know, the world domination game is over. So
yes, right. So 20th chapter.
Oh, okay. Now, do you want to go into some of the things that how the fall occurs in the 20th chapter?
Well, basically, it kind of starts with the fall, with the war against everyone. So, I mean, all the ships gathering over there, and so I don't know exactly how that will happen, but I just know that it talks about. Well, the way it's worded in the Bible is kind of difficult for a lot of people to understand,
uh-huh.
you know, and it just says that. The serpent will be in the devil, you know, they'll be bound for 1,000 years, you know,
uh-huh.
and it's just like they'll be thrown into the lake of fire.
Yeah.
And
metaphoric
so,
language,
yeah,
not literal.
All metaphoric, so you can't really take it out
right.
there, but it's basically, my interpretation is the downfall of the controllers, and this goes along with Pluto and Capricorn, because
oh.
Capricorn is a sign that rules governments, it rules corporations, it rules structures, you know, like all the structures that went down in Haiti,
mm-hmm,
and the
mm-hmm.
structures like the corporations and the
mm-hmm.
businesses, and so Pluto being the transformer, the old way of doing business has to be transformed, you know. Like look at Toyota, they're having to totally revamp their whole system, and that's a huge company.
Oh yeah.
Because
yeah.
of the brake problem or the gas pedal problem.
And unfortunately, it's still business as usual for the other companies because all they do is just add a lot more features on the inside of their cars. But the basic, the core change, the shift, the paradigm shift that has to happen is a shift to, you know, electrics or, you know, a different technology entirely. And you know, those people who are in the know that technology has existed for over 50, 60 years. It's just been held up, and those patents have been bought up, and they're sitting on shelves in various corporations, and they're just not, you know, they use it for themselves, but they don't release it because we have to have wires to connect us so that they can meter the electricity, and we have to be dependent upon oil.
Right. And that's why the controllers have to be out of control.
Yes.
So
well,
we
they are out
freedom.
Of control. they're pathologically out of control now. I bet they need to just go.
Right, yeah, yeah. Well, the new earth that I've seen, and this is what's kept me going with doing the
yeah.
prophecies and everything for so long, is that I think that what I saw was the fifth dimension world because there were no cars.
Mm-hmm.
No concrete.
Mm-hmm.
There was a transportation system,
mm-hmm.
but it wasn't, you know, like what we have now. Everything was green, lush, probably just like the Garden of Eden.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that's what, you know, I thought, oh, wow, I want to be on that earth.
Absolutely. I agree with you totally. And, you know, even one of my guests, was on a while back, Andrew D. Bajago, And he was part of a Project Pegasus, which was one of those other underground operations that was funded by the Vatican and DARPA and so on and so forth. And they developed time travel and had been to Mars and back a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, he's in the exopolitics movement now, and he's talking openly about it. And he said that we need to rethink our transportation, because we could be easily just get into a machine, you know, and beam over to the other side of the planet. And we don't
right.
need to. You know, we have this technology now. We had it 40 years ago.
Right.
He was involved with it in the 60s when they were all just kids. But by now, they have stuff that must be so advanced that, you know, we'd all be in shock.
Uh-huh.
Maybe that's part of the meaning of Revelations, you know.
Well, it could be, you know, because like when it says that the white horse, you know, the white
yeah.
horse is a constellation Pegasus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
That is, yeah.
Oh.
So maybe they're giving us a clue that there's already time travel going on there.
Oh, yeah, it's interesting. See, there's so much that, you know, that we don't realize and we don't even think of because we're not even open to the possibility. And
uh-huh.
when I started listening to some of those videos, some that you sent me links to about the vortex opening up there, the Stargate, and there's a picture of it. You can actually Google the Strait of Aden, A-D-E-N, and a vortex, Stargate, and there are a couple of different pictures that you can see of that occurring. It's like a whirlwind.
Yes,
effect.
I saw that.
So it's a very real thing. Now, time will tell what's going to evolve with that. But, I mean, those warships could all be over there and some could pop up somewhere else.
Oh, that's right. Yeah,
you
yeah.
know?
And the fact that there was a 6.3 earthquake there on January 6th,
yeah.
you know, I think that that's when it really opened or did something.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, that's strange to have an earthquake right there.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it kind of feels like there was something going on under the sea because it was an offshore earthquake.
Mm.
And right there where the Stargate's supposed to be, or
yeah.
is. I shouldn't say it's supposed to be, where it is.
It is, yeah.
Right,
yeah.
It definitely is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so that's really interesting. Well, I had one other thing that when I wrote my last planet alert and sent it out.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh.
I got an immediate reply from this friend in China, and he sent me this email, and he said that that is connected to the last eclipse on January 15th was connected by an astronomy to the Virgin of Guadalupe. How you pronounce that?
Guadalupe?
Yeah, Guadalupe, yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh, and that that this is symbolized according to the information that he got where he studies the sky through astronomy, and he says that this means that the Virgin of Guadalupe is another sign of the end times of the Maya, because that was one of their signs.
Oh. Okay.
You know, when she would appear in the heavens.
Oh. Okay.
And so she did. I mean, in the sky, you know, actually in the constellation. And
so that's another validation that these things are all coming to pass.
Yes, right. And then James Gilliland sent out with his email list, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, this morning I had a vision of Our Lady of Guadalupe, and she was very concerned with where humanity was going, and she no longer had a representative. And then she was there was a lot of fire and destruction in the background, and she was very sad. And so he had that on January 27th, you know, and that's still in this time frame too. And I thought, well, wow, this all fits together too.
Oh, yes. Now, there's a couple of other things that I had read someplace that there's February 6th and 22nd. Both of those dates are significant for the Mayans. I think the 22nd is the Mayans' solar new year. And then,
oh, really?
Yeah, so there's two major significant Mayan celebrations that are occurring in February that don't occur for another year. And then mid-February, I think you mentioned that Chiron and Jupiter conjunct in this month, sometime around the middle.
Well, also, on the Valentine's Day, we start the new Chinese year.
No, well, we better get our firecrackers out.
That's right. But that's really interesting, too, because, like, last year was so hard for so many people.
Oh, well, yeah.
And last year was the year of the ox, which is ruled by the planet Saturn, which is the tester.
Oh, yeah.
You know? And so it was like final testing, and then we were in 2009, which had the number 9 in it, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so in just another week here, we'll be going into the year of the tiger, which is ruled by Uranus. And that's the planet of change.
Oh, my.
And
of
change
course.
Happens like lightning coming down out of the heavens.
Really?
Well,
and look at the build up between America and China flexing their muscles now.
Uh huh.
You know, they're going back and forth about, you know, various things, and you know, I read that China was about to come out just right now, sometime this month, with a new energy device that will power a whole house. And you buy the device, and it's basically a free energy device. They're going to call it a battery, but it's basically a very advanced technological device. So if that happened, that would pull the rug out from underneath.
Oh, right, yeah. Well, you know, that's another thing that they've had a long time, because this is so interesting.
Yeah.
Because the woman who used to own the building that we first started meeting with our Light Center at,
oh yeah.
She told me she grew up in Minnesota, and she's an older lady, you know. And so she has died, but she was telling me the story of when she grew up in Minnesota, and this was like cuz she was born, I think it was in 1919 or something like that.
Oh my goodness.
And so this has been a long time ago, and on their farm, they had this device that ran all the electricity in their house, and this was way back. That would be in the early 30s.
Wow.
You know, and then the Men in Black came out and took it away from them.
Really?
Yes, and wouldn't let them have it.
Oh, my goodness. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so that's probably what's coming out right now.
Wow.
The
that
China.
Is very interesting.
Yes.
My goodness. And, of course, we know that Tesla had all that figured out, and that all got back engineered and, you know, used by the powers that be, so...
Right,
I think
that they're using his technology right now with all their advanced...
Yeah, exactly. And then, you know, you have the heart facilities, and which burn up the ionosphere and so on and so forth and create the weather wars. And so we're
right
on the verge, we're on the cusp of some major, major shifts, it looks like.
Right, yes, and so it looks like we're in a very, very interesting time, so...
Yes.
I would say to people, be prepared, you know. I mean, be prepared, like, mentally, you know.
Mentally, yes.
Yeah, because, you know, like, if we changed a frequency, you know, like, all of a sudden, you know, you wouldn't need the supplies of food and et cetera, but, you know, we don't know exactly how it's going to work out.
Right, exactly. And now, what about, we didn't talk at all about Planet X and Nibiru.
Oh, yeah, and that's very important, too.
It is very important. What do you know about it? Because I'm not a big scholar on that whole area.
Uh-huh. Well, I don't know a whole lot about it, except that I know that years ago my guidance told me that this planet was on its way, you know, and I thought, well, that's interesting, you know. And then as I watched the last few years and all of these changes are going on in the solar system, I thought, well, what's causing all these changes? You know, there has to be something that's causing the changes. And then all the different people came up, you know, and they put all the Vatican put up their telescope down the south, and then they've got the telescopes down in Antarctica, you know, and so what are they doing with them down there, you know, what are they looking for?
Right.
And then I did listen to this one man who gave another talk on Coast to Coast, and he was very interesting, and he was saying that the planet will be closest this summer. You know, and then I guess there's different people that have taken pictures of it. I haven't seen a really good pictures of it. I've seen a picture, you know, when there's a double sun, you know, but that could be a sun dog. But it looks, you know, I mean, you can't really tell. But I think so because I looked up the ephemeris for Nemesis, which is what they call it. And Nemesis is actually the companion of our sun. Because, like, our sun has a dark companion.
Oh.
Our moon has a dark companion.
Okay.
And so this is a normal cycle that comes around, you know, every few years.
Yeah.
And so when I looked up the ephemeris of Nemesis, well, when an earthquake happened up here in Queen Charlotte Islands in November, it was a 6.6, and Nemesis was exactly right there when that happened.
Huh.
And now Nemesis seems to be pointing to the area of Yellowstone and
oh,
that particular area.
And somebody sent me a link to the Yellowstone thing that they thought that was going to go off soon. And of course, if that happened, all the the ash, the volcanic ash, would create a major problem for us breathing wise and solar wise. We wouldn't be able to grow anything. So that would be a unpleasant situation to go through if we had to go through that.
Right, yeah. There's another thing with that, too. That could happen, but also Yellowstone is connected with Alaska.
Oh.
And Saturn is now affecting Alaska and Hawaii.
Oh.
And so there could be something going on with Alaska right now, which is causing Yellowstone to respond to it.
Oh.
You know, so it could be either way.
Well, it's probably Sarah Palin and her tea party.
Maybe so.
She had too much tea.
Uh-huh, right, yeah. Oh, one thing. I guess the time's getting close to close here, but the degree that Saturn is on right now, which is 4 degrees Libra, that's on the degree of the beginning of a new civilization.
Really?
Yes. And by latitude, it's right over the Sea of Aden.
You're kidding.
No.
Wow. Well, that is chilling. You saved that right for the last moment, didn't you?
Yeah.
You little rascal. That's good. So the sun is 4 degrees Libra?
Yeah.
And that's right.
Saturn is.
Oh, my goodness. Well, that is really something. Well, that puts the frosting on the cake, doesn't it?
Yeah, it kind of does.
My goodness. Well, we're going to have to
see what
up to date
brain
on this, and people are going to have to subscribe to your Planet Alert, because
yes,
you talk about all of this each month, and you might have to do one every 2 weeks pretty soon if it eats up enough, right?
Impossible, but I don't seem to have the time for that.
No, you're a busy person.
Yeah.
Well, before we go, would you let people know where your website is so they can find you and get
sure.
Planet Alert?
Sure. It's www.alcseattle.com. And my email is planetalert@hotmail.com.
Wonderful. Well, any other stalkers before we say goodnight to the audience and the listeners?
I think that they probably have enough to digest.
I think so. I have notes all over my my paper here that I want to go back and investigate, because there's a lot of interesting stuff that we covered tonight. And I really want to thank you for sharing yourself with us again, and always, you bring so much to the show, and I really love having you on.
Thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
And we'll have you back again, and, well, we might all be in the fifth dimension, so if we are, we'll be playing and having a good time.
That would be great, yeah.
Really. Thanks
but
a lot, Mahala.
Yeah. Okay, you're welcome.
All right. And
talk
good night
to you later.
To you.
Bye.
And good night, everybody.